Let us open our Bibles. We have two texts this morning. The first text is really as an illustration for the second. The first text is in the book of Zechariah, chapter 3, the verses 1 to 5. And then our main text will be in the book of Romans, chapter 5, verse 2. And our text this morning is only the first part of Romans 5, verse 2. But we'll read verses 1 to 11 once we get to Romans. But let's begin with Zechariah, chapter 3, the verses 1 to 5. This is a well-known text from the Old Testament. And this is God's holy and life-giving word. Then he showed me Joshua. This is a vision. Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to accuse him. And the Lord said to Satan, "The Lord rebuke you, O Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is not this a brand plucked from the fire?" Now Joshua was standing before the angel, clothed with filthy garments. And the angel said to those who were standing before him, "Remove the filthy garments from him." And to him he said, "Behold, I have taken your iniquity away from you, and I will clothe you with pure vestments." And I said, "Let them put a clean turban on his head." So they put a clean turban on his head and clothed him with garments. And the angel of the Lord was standing by. Let's now turn to the book of Romans, chapter 5. Just as a reminder, we're now in a sort of intermediary section in the gospel or the book of Romans where Paul is rejoicing in the fruits of what Christ has attained for his people. And so last week we saw the peace of God, and now we're going to go into the second word, which is really the grace of God. Romans 5, 1 to 11, God says, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now that we are reconciled shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation." Thus far the preaching of God's holy word. Let us pray that God would give us understanding. Dear Heavenly Father, your holy word is a word of light and truth and life. Father, we pray that you would shine the light of your word into our minds so that our hearts would be filled with truth and we would have the life of Christ dwelling within us. For Father, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Beloved, in Joshua chapter 3, we really have a remarkable scene. Joshua stands as a priest before the Lord, as one who is supposed to be holy and pure in the presence of God. But instead, he is filthy. He is dirty. He is unfit for the ministry. And that's a picture of his sin, the ministry that he is not able to do. And then we see next to Joshua, Satan standing, the accuser. And Satan is accusing him in something like, "Lord, he is unfit. He's dirty. He is unfit to be in your presence. You should judge him. You should be his judge that sentenced him into destruction. He deserves your punishment. But then the Lord speaks, and we hear this voice. The Lord rebuke you, O Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is not this a brand plucked from the fire? And then we read, and the angel said to those who were standing before him, remove the filthy garments from him. And to him he said, behold, I have taken your iniquity away from you, and I will clothe you with pure vestments, with pure clothes. What happened here? Joshua, the high priest, went from disgrace, shame, and dishonor to grace and honor and purity. He went from the standing of dishonor, condemned, to the place of honor and serving God. Do you see that? For before he was standing condemned, and the accuser was saying, this is a bad guy, God. You need to judge him. He is an unworthy priest. And then right after, he is still standing, but now he stands as a priest who could enter and serve God. He was being made spotless and clean. Satan was silent. You don't hear him afterwards anymore. The accuser is shut up. He is quiet now. He no longer is able to find any ground of accusation against Joshua. Joshua is now in a different relationship with God. He was cleansed, and he was standing now in the grace of God. We see the same truth in our text this morning, a new kind of standing. And I want us to see this, and the reason why we'll take now even half a verse is because I want us to ponder these marvelous words carefully. Listen to this. Through him, that's through Jesus, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. What does grace mean? Or what does it mean to stand in grace? And how firm do believers stand in this grace? Well, I want to answer these questions, and you can find the points in the back of your bulletin if you like to take notes. But I want to begin with the meaning of grace. Before we can grasp what it means to stand in grace, we better have a refreshing of our mind of this meaning of grace. How should we understand this word? Well, if you know the New Testament, and if you are a regular reader of Scripture, and especially the New Testament, you will hear this word grace over and over and over again. Especially the Apostle Paul is filled with this word grace. We could almost call him the Apostle of Grace, which was named Paul. He was a man who was constantly declaring the grace of God. The basic meaning for the word grace is favor. Favor. It really means, in Paul's understanding, the favor of God. The favor of God. What does it mean to be in the favor of God? After all, in some way, everyone in this world, believer and unbeliever, stands in some type of favor of God. I think of the words of Jesus Christ when he says that God makes his sun to rise on the evil and the good. He sends rain on the just and the unjust. God favors, he blesses all of mankind to some degree. He strengthens the entirety of his creation with blessing. Even unbelievers receive some type of favor from God as they are God's creatures. And yet the grace that Paul speaks about is a special, unique kind of favor from God, a higher favor, a very high form of grace. Because it is the grace that is unleashed, that depends on, that flows out of Jesus Christ's work on the cross. What Jesus did there when he died for sinners have opened the door of God's favor in a very unique way. As our text says, through him, Jesus, we have obtained also access by faith into this grace in which we stand. Faith has brought a believer in a new room, so to speak, a new realm. There's access. We have had access, and we're now entering into this new place of favor, a much higher plane of favor. And you and I should ask, how much higher? How much greater? And the answer, even though I could write a sermon on this, is simply infinitely higher. This is infinite grace unleashed. Listen to the words of Paul in Romans 8, 16 to 17. It says, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ. That is the new grace in which the believer has entered. The grace of being an heir of God and a fellow heir with Christ. That we have received and will receive and will always be receiving the same inheritance with Jesus Christ. That we are now, so to speak, brought to the same type of favor that Jesus Christ had from the Father from everlasting and now to us until everlasting. That's favor. Can you imagine? The favor of the Father towards the Son. Can you picture that? How much does the Father favor the Son? What would the Son, the Father withhold from the Son? Nothing. He is fully committed to bless the Son in whatever is necessary. And then Paul, bold man that he is, emboldened by the Holy Spirit, dares to write that we are fellow heirs with Christ. That we have been brought into the same inheritance. Do you see that? Do you see the magnitude of this statement? Not we have received some type of trace or a drop that accidentally fell out of the bucket of grace. No, we have received the same inheritance. Fellow heirs with Christ. That is grace. That is favor from God. This is incredible. The Father cares for his believers. He loves believers in the same way that he loves the Son of God. Can you imagine that? Many of you, I think all of us, love someone. And sometimes we love people to our own hurt. Pour out, and we know that we will never receive it back. And yet we pour out, and we pour out, and we pour out. That's little to nothing compared to this favor, this grace, this love. And so in the beginning, when I thought this point was just going to be one sentence, undeserved favor or something like that, the more I think about this, the more wonderful it is. We are favored as Christ is favored. If you're in Christ, you are incredibly rich. And that's an understatement. Not because you have some dust that is about to be blown away, but because you have an eternal inheritance in the love of God. So, that being established, let's move to our second point, the entrance into grace. And if you have your Bibles, I just want you to see, we're not going to go back and forth. Well, I'm sure we will at some point later on, but I want you to really see these words, because I think this is a sentence we read through so quickly, because we've heard the word grace so often, and we think, okay, grace is something that God gives us. But look what it says here and how grace is functioning. Romans 5, 2, 3, through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace. Look at the word access. What does that mean? What does the word access imply? If you say you have access to something, and now you stand there. It is a word that was used for the access to a king's presence. There were some people so favored in the kingdom of the earthly kingdoms that they had access to the throne. If you remember Esther, she didn't even have free access. She needed to have the scepter of the king pointed to her before she could really enter. But here it speaks about an absolute access that you can walk in at any point in time as you please. It's also used for the picture of a ship when it has access into a harbor. You go through the port and then you enter and you dock in the harbor. I think it's used for that here, that idea that we have access, that we have went through the port and harbored at the dock. And now we stand in a new place, we're in a new location, and we're there anchored for life. We have entered into this grace. These are not waves of grace. This is a location of grace. This is a new realm, a new position of grace. Paul's using the word access to say that faith grants us access into a new realm before God. We've gone out of an old realm, and we have entered into a new realm, a new place, a new location. And that new location for living is grace. All of it is grace. Jesus Christ has opened the door for believers into a new place by his sacrifice on the cross, and now we live and have our being and are seen by God as people who live in the realm of grace, brought into the favorable presence of God forever. Now, I just want us, I just want to make sure that we understand this, because often I think we go out of grace, or we go into grace when we go to God, ask him for some help. He gives us some grace, and then we try to spend it for a while, and then we're kind of running low, and we got to go back to the gas station of grace and fill up a little bit, and then we go back and forth. But here it is speaking about grace as a place and a location where God is constantly looking over you, and the whole life is grace. You live in grace. Your house is grace. Not your physical house, but the place where your soul lives, where you dwell. It is all grace. In fact, it is so much so grace that it's impossible to get out of grace. You live in grace through faith. It is the place of sonship, the place of God's fatherly favor, uninterrupted, day by day. Let me say it this way, whether you read your 3 or 4 chapters of the Bible in the morning or not, as a believer, you have a standing in grace. Whether you had a discussion with your wife that went well or when it didn't go so well, whether you have disappointed yourself or checked every box that you wanted to check, it's a new standing, a new life. There is a complete cutoff from the previous life of being an enemy of God. And now you can never go back in there. You're now brought into a new life of grace before God. Just like Jesus cannot go back and forth out and into the grace of God. He is forever under the favor of the Father. And so believers that are in Christ are forever in the favor of the Father. You see this? Look at Ephesians 1:3-4. Just listen. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. Every spiritual blessing. Not we have obtained a few or received a little bit, and then somehow if we live really well and we check a lot of boxes and then we get maybe a little bit extra, and maybe by the end we can swim a little bit or maybe waddle in the grace. No, this is fully poured out. Everything is made available at once. The limitations are off. Fully in the grace of God. In Ephesians, Paul is overcome with amazement as he rejoices in the manifold blessings of God. He says, "Blessed be the God and Father of my Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing." Not just me, but us. He's writing to the church, all of us. But Paul, I was sick last week. I couldn't make it to church. Or I slipped and I did something wrong. He's blessed us with every spiritual blessing. A new realm of grace. Let's go further. My third point, the perfect standing in grace. Because I think there is a tendency, in my few short years of walking with the Lord and brothers and sisters, I think there is a tendency because to think that we're out and in with God, because sometimes we feel close to God and sometimes we feel far away from God. Sometimes we think that heaven is open, and sometimes it feels like it's going to be a brass heaven because I had a busy week and it's a lot of stress, and so God must have withdrawn himself, and I need to kind of get the engine going so that I'm closer to God again. And if I do that, sure, yeah, I know God is gracious. He will let me in. But right now, I got to suffer a little I got to walk through the highways and the byways for a while before I can enter into the house. I think that we are in a seesaw relationship with God. We see him and then we don't see him. He sees us favorably and then he's kind of frowning. Then he's happy with us again and then he's frowning again. But listen again to Romans 5 verse 2. Through him, through Jesus, not through your Bible study, not through your devotion, but through him, through Jesus, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. We don't walk and dip our toes into the grace of God, but we stand in it. It's our new home. Now, in seminary, they tell us that we need to keep the grammar to ourselves in our home study, and then once we preach, then we gotta make it known, but don't go into the grammar. Well, I'm going to break that rule because I think the grammar here is important, and I want you to know the grammar of the original underneath. Both the verbs obtained and stand are in the perfect tense. Now, that means that these actions have been completed in the past. They're done in the past. They're not an ongoing action, but they've been done in the past, but they have continuing results. It has happened, and the fruit of that still continues on. It's not something that we hope to do, or that we should keep on doing, or will one day hope to do. It is something that has been done and has now led into a new status. It's something that has been finished in the past, and now it will remain forever and ever to be a reality in our lives. As Christians, the entrance into the grace of God was done in the past. If we are believers, if we have believed in Jesus Christ, we have come to stand in the grace of God in the past, and that has a continuing effect for all eternity. You see why that's important? So otherwise we think, well, now I stand in the grace of God. Now I have access, but what about tomorrow? It's not a present continuous idea that I need to keep standing and got to make sure that I don't fall or take a step to the left or to the right. But it's a perfectly finished reality. It has been done in the past, and now we stand, to use a word, perpetually in the grace of God. Once you come to Christ, that moment you stand in the grace of God, and then you perpetually, eternally stand and have your standing and will always have your standing in the grace of God. And so, what this means is that this word standing speaks about a placement and an eternal location. Jesus has brought us into this new location into which we now stand forever. Unshakable ground. Perpetual standing in the grace of God. No matter what our emotions do and say, no matter how hard the ship is rocked by the waves of this life, we stand in the grace of God. That's why it's so important to emphasize whether we're in or out. If you're in, you're in. Out, you're out. Once you're in, you're perpetually in. You're unshakably in. Not because your feet are so strong, but because you're in Christ and His feet are strong. You see, we got to notice every word. Did you notice that? Through Him, we also have obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. It is in Him, through Him. He is the strength of the feet that never move. Through Him, we stand. Let me give you a few verses that express the truth of being in grace, or more often, in Christ Jesus. Just listen to these. Let these wash, so to speak, over your heart. Romans 8:1. There's therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Those who stand in grace, there's no condemnation. Satan says, Joshua's dirty, but now the garments is clean. He's silenced. There's no condemnation. Even the master accuser has nothing on him. He's silenced. No condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. 1 Corinthians 1:4, I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus. You are given the favor of God, the grace of God, the goodwill of God. Galatians 3:26, for in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. Sonship in Christ Jesus, in grace. Eternal sonship. Eternally be the favored son of the family that received the entire inheritance in Christ Jesus. And then Ephesians 2:5-7. Even when we were dead in our trespasses, He made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. You see that grace again. And raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So that in the coming ages He might show the immeasurable riches of His grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. Standing in grace means that God has a plan for His people to have countless of ages planned out to teach us the immeasurable riches of His kindness. Let's say you have a very rich aunt or uncle and he or she is very kind, and one day she decides, I love you so much, I want to spend a month showing my kindness to you. And so I'm going to plan out a month, and I'm going to use the entirety of my capital to bless you for a month. I'm going to pour out, plug, unplug all the stops, and go for it, and give you the fullness of it, and show you 1 month everything this world can offer that I can afford for you. That's the kind of language here. To show you the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us, except it's not a month, it's eternity. Forever. God has intended and planned and will do for all eternity, showing the riches of his kindness, to showing just how infinitely he loves his people. That's good. That's wonderful. All these passages and many more speak of the same thing that we see in our text. Believers in Jesus Christ stand in the favor of God, in the grace of God. And therefore, God looks at us with the same favor as he has towards his Son. It's an entirely new standing, a new location, a new life, a new creation. We are now rightly called sons of God, not because of what we have done, but because of Jesus' work. We're not sons because we're born as males. We're sons because we're in Christ. It's nothing to do with being a male or a female. It has everything to do with being in Christ, being in him. The picture of sonship has to do with the inheritance that we receive in Christ. Brings us to the experience of standing in grace. Paul is not merely speaking about something legal or theoretical. And I know that some people have a hard time with the book of Romans because they read it and it's so technical in a sense. And it's so theoretical. It feels theoretical. It's all theological and it's this because of this because of this because of this. And yet if we understand what Paul is writing about here, he is speaking about practical and experiential reality. Think about it this way. What happens when you enter into a new room, or a new city, or a new country? What happens? You see new things. I had the privilege of living in multiple countries, and I always remember what happens when you first come in, and then when you come in later. In the beginning, it feels like everybody's looking at you, and they kind of are, because you're the obvious tourist. I remember in Korea, when you first come in, everybody's looking at you, and it's not so much because I just look different and I'm, you know, way taller and blonde and look very different, but I act very different from everyone else because I'm just looking at everything. I'm looking at everybody's face and where we're going, and I'm just staring all around at this new place that I'm trying to absorb. And after a while, you settle in and you sit next to everyone else, and then you're looking at the new guy that comes in. But that newness, right? When you first walk in and you first enter in, and the amazement and the awe, I think is what Paul is trying to communicate. We have a new standing in grace, and beloved brothers and sisters, we need to look around. We need to understand and study and fall in love with the eternal inheritance. We should have bigger eyes than little kids when they see what comes out of there from underneath their wrapping. Think about adoption. What happens when a child is adopted in a new home? He sees new things. He experiences new things. He is occupied with new things. He receives a new kind of love that centers him at the core of that family. And he is surrounded by love as the family gathers around him and pours love upon the new child. So it is with standing in grace. Everything is new, and it needs to remain that newness to us, because honestly, we have understood so little that pretty much everything is new. Think about this. Forgiveness is new. And I think half of us barely understand this, including me. What is forgiveness? Could it be really that good as the Bible describes it? That my past and my present and my future sins are all swallowed up through the blood of Christ? Can it be that good that I know that tomorrow at the end of the day, no matter where the day has taken me, and no matter what I've said, the sins have already been known by God and He has forgiven me? Can it be that good? There's a newness. The love of God is new. Sure, God loves His creation in a general sense and sustains it by His hand of blessing, but oh, how He loves His Son in a special and eternal sense. He loves His people in the same way. Can you believe that? That the Father loves you as much as He loves the Son? He calls us the apple of His eye. In Christ. Christ is the apple of His eye, and we are in Christ. And so He calls us the apple of His eye, the central focus of His love, the one whom He places before His throne to bless. You know, you might have never been the favorite child in your home. You might have still feel the scars of being the second best or the third best or the one who comes in the end. But in Christ, there is no last ones. There's no unfavored ones. All are favored as much as the Son of God is favored. Prayer is new. Everyone is allowed to pray in a general sense as creatures of God. But oh, when a child of God prays, the heart of God beats faster, and He is eager to hear. Discipline is new. Remember, the Father loves, He disciplines. God is no longer letting us run in every which way, but He protects us, and He brings us in, and He watches over us. He's involved in discipline in our life. But the promises of God are new. There are many promises that are made to the world, but the majority of God's words promises are to His people. Can you imagine what would happen if we take up this book and we believe every promise? Do you know the promises of God's word? And do you know them as the promises that are given to you in Christ Jesus? Beloved, as Christians, we have entered a whole new life, a new experience of life. It is a life with God that is real and practical and actual and present here. Now, if you are in Christ, you have received the fullness of God's love, and it will never leave. What a glory. What a gift. What a grace. We are like Joshua, whose old rags have been replaced by new ones. No longer as filthy sinners who deserve the judgment of God, but as those who have been washed in the blood of the Lamb and clothed with royal garments, for whom heaven and earth is a place upon which we can enjoy the blessings of God. Which brings us to our application. And I have to do this twofold. If you have not yet entered into the grace of God, I hope that this has brought a yearning to your heart, a longing to your soul. This is no fake advertising. You know, so many times when you look at the advertisement in the world, they will say, well, if you eat this Snicker bar or if you buy this car, your family is going to be happy, all your grass is going to be without weeds, and you're going to shine all day with the sunshine on your head. That's fake. You might drive off the lawn and get a blown tire. Start yelling. Something like that. There's no false advertising in God's word. Every word has the eternal power of God behind it, and it will come to pass. Oh, I plead with you that you would come and see the grace of God. that it would warm your heart. I have warned you strongly, but now there is no warning. I try to lure you in. Try to pull you in by promises. See the gracious Lord crucified on the cross for you. What more could God do to convince that he loves people like you and me? He sent his Son. His Son came, was crucified, and received the fullness of the judgment of God upon his soul, and died. He's paid the ultimate sacrifice to save you and bring you into the kingdom of God. If you desire to come to know Jesus and you say, there is a stirring up in my heart, I want to come to know Christ, but I'm just not so sure if he still will have me. Let me put it this way. Whatever desire you have to come to God, God's desire for you to come to him is far greater. If you think you want to come in, wait till you see him wanting you to come in. I mean, isn't it obvious that he sent his Son and that now through the Word he causes me to invite you? This is greater, better than the clouds in the sky, because you could say, well, that's a coincidence. This is no coincidence. He's speaking to your heart and he says, come. I have paid the price. I have set the table. Come out of your poverty and live. You're like a babe who is dying in blood and nobody cares for you, but I will. Come to me and I will save you. Thirdly, the time is short. Don't wait. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the time to turn from your old ways and to come to Christ. And I also want to speak for us who stand in grace. Just three things. And I got to be brief. First of all, don't forget the gospel. It is a plague among so many of us that we struggle with forgetting the gospel as soon as we have heard it. And not that we reject Christ or walk away from him, but somehow after we have seen that Christ has paid the price, we go home and think, what must I do to be right before God? How must I wash myself? Where is the sponge by which I need to hit the tough spots? The gospel said, all of grace. Now go and walk in the joy of the Lord without a burdened conscience, free from guilt. Secondly, and related to that, is don't lean on your own strength. You stand in grace now. Don't go back and trying to fix yourself. Ask God. Ask him. Pray. And then pray. And then pray. Third and finally, don't be distracted by the world. I say this on behalf of my Lord. My bridegroom is being part of the bride of Christ. Fix your eyes upon him who truly loves you. Don't be distracted by a world who loves itself and seeks to use you and abuse you for its own gain. Don't leave behind the Lord that loves you for an adulterer who seeks to kill you. Run after Christ. Set your mind. Look at your schedule. Look at your life. See if there's anything that draws your eyes away from Christ and get rid of it. Focus on the Lord alone. Don't you remember how good it is to be in the joy of the Lord? Don't you remember the times when Christ was everything? Where you woke up in the morning before your alarm clock because you just wanted to be with the Lord? Come back. for your first love. Walk with the Lord. Amen. Let us close in prayer. The Heavenly Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit would use the word to feed our souls and to draw us closer to you. Teach us, Lord, for your children are listening. And draw us near to you, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.